Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Through 150,000 feet, our trajectory is perfect. We're getting intermittent views of integrity. Still waiting to establish voice communication.
Did you watch this on Friday when it was happening, John?
I did, live.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Failed. I fell asleep. I was what? Doing something else.
How
I don't know.
How could you fall asleep? I mean, these people's lives were on the line, Andrew.
I know. I would love to be able to tell you. I was glued to my TV, glued to my computer. I just... failed, just totally failed. So I had started the recording and then something happened anyway, because I was recording the audio and I didn't want to watch the whole thing. I did not watch it live. So I'm lame. I forgot. But man, that's during the blackout time, like when they're not talking and you're watching. And, you know, we had talked about the heat shield and, you know, Juan Williams, it's his nephew, I think, was Victor Glover, I think, is, on board. And he was talking about it on Fox News Sunday after the splashdown. And he's like, you know, it's on the verge of tears because you don't know what's going to happen.
You don't.
And I know I kind of talked about that heat shield thing on Friday being a big deal. And it is. I mean, you know,
this was better than a soap opera.
It's scary, you know, and this thing's not working and that thing's not working. Nothing goes just right. You know, my dad, who he wasn't involved in any of this, but he was a big rocket enthusiast. He used to build rockets as a kid, you know, illegally.
what?
In fact, they built a whole field near their house where they'd shoot off rockets. And back in the day, you know, in the 50s when they were... it was thinking about all this stuff, you know, kids do this. Anyway, and he's like, oh, yeah, man, that heat shield, that's always been a problem for them. By the way, one of the reasons that the space shuttle and the Artemis capsule are so different and why you could reuse the space shuttle and you cannot reuse the Artemis capsule is the speed of entry. The speed of entry is completely different, different scale. So, for example, the space shuttle is coming in at 17,000 miles an hour, Mach 25, which you think, well, that's a lot. Yeah, but it's only 3,000 degrees. He's like, 3,000 degrees is a lot. Yeah, but not compared to 5,000 degrees.
So they can't use the Artemis II.
They can't
again.
Reuse it. No, it's designed to be...
A one-up?
Yeah, and it's designed to kind of be used up to some degree during the process.
Okay.
Like, it's that intense of a transition, apparently. 25,000 miles an hour, Mach 33, and 5,000 degrees. And that's what my dad's like, yeah, but this has always been an issue, is trying to figure out how to get those folks back safely. Because it has to do with, you know... the rate of descent for the space shuttle is fairly small compared to coming back from the moon, picking up gravity and accelerating. And it doesn't drive it. It doesn't have, you know, it can't slow itself out in space. It doesn't, I mean,
put the flaps up.
But the reason they don't travel so fast is because if they start faster, they wind up going even faster, going through the atmosphere, which wind up being problematic. So anyway, they're coming home post blackout.
Houston, comm check post blackout.
Houston, Integrity, we have you loud and clear.
I started clapping.
Your trajectory is nominal, and your recovery teams have visual.
Because they're still, you know, 100,000 feet up, but they got through the most dangerous part, which is the reentry part.
And they were still glowing, too.
Still glowing, yeah.
Yeah.
No action for the enabled internal camera controller fail.
And then a little bit later on, a couple minutes later.
We're at 50,000 feet. The pyros are armed for forward bay cover jettison.
I think about 5 minutes from splashdown at this point.
And there go the first series of parachutes. And we're on drogues.
You hear the cheering.
And Houston, we're visual two drogues out the window.
I wish they wouldn't have cut the mic on the cheering.
Two good drogue shoots. Next up.
We copy. We see them.
Next up, the deployment of pilot parachutes that will pull the main chutes out. Time to splash down 3 minutes and 10 seconds.
I kind of condensed that audio a little bit over the course of a minute or so.
Passing through 10,000 feet, still on drogues. Main chute deploy.
And at this point, it's all, I mean, it's done. It's all the real danger is past, but until they're actually on the water, you know, and getting rescued.
Houston Integrity, splashdown, sending post-landing command now.
Splashdown confirmed.
Copy splashdown, waiting on VLDR.
Splashdown confirmed at 7.07 p.m. Central Time, 5.07 p.m. Pacific Time. From the pages of Jules Verne to a modern-day mission to the moon, a new chapter of the exploration of our celestial neighbor is complete. Integrity's astronauts, back on Earth.
Now, John, did you keep watching after that until they actually opened the capsule?
Yes.
It's a long process.
It is,
it's
but...
It's a long process of getting them back. But the cool thing, I mean, aside from it just being generally cool, is that the rescue swimmers who were doing this, where do those folks start their training?
Here.
NAS Pensacola, that's right. Navy rescue divers and the Naval Aviation Rescue Swimmers train at NAS Pensacola.
That's awesome.
Specialized. They get other training elsewhere, but one place they sometimes go is the Panama City. We actually saw that when rode on the... what was the name of the ship that I rode on? Oh, my
McCool?
God.
McCool?
The McCool, thank you. Yeah, just my brain all of a sudden. When we rode on the McCool, we started in Panama City. That's where it was... It was not at the port.
I wouldn't know. I wasn't.
It was on the. It was out in the water. But that's where we got on the boat, and they took us to that location by taking us through the Navy facility that's there at Panama City. And so we actually saw some of the Navy rescue diver. Just, I mean, not them or anything, but we saw the school that they do there. So yeah, lots of stuff locally is where the Naval Dive and Salvage Training Center NDSTC in Panama City. Largest diving facility in the world, trains Navy second-class divers, underwater construction divers, and Navy EOD, explosives ordnance disposal. And they would have gotten other training subsequently. But, yeah, again, another, you know, we're inside, you know, because we got Navy aviators that started NAS Pensacola, and then one of them, the commanding officer, he went to Whiting. And then the rescue swimmers who are there greeting them and getting them back on board, those folks all started their training at NAS Pensacola. So, I don't know, it's just cool. I'll own it. We'll own it. It's ours. 6:16 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you right now. Looks like 9 Mile, Highway 29, 98, Palafox, all rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I know for some of you who understand more about the diversity and variety of the missions at NAS Pensacola, you're like, well, duh. Yeah, but you know. If you know that, then you also know that most people don't know. And one of the things I'm always eager to do is to promote awareness about the significance of what our local mission is, which is tremendous for the Navy. And, yeah, that's why we did the whole series that one year on all of the different, you know, meet your tenant commands. And because if you ask an average person, if you just went down on Palafox or 9 Mile or whatever and asked people 9th Avenue, you ask them, you know, what happens at NAS Pensacola? Well, Blue Angels, Lighthouse, Museum. I think they do training or something. Don't they learn to be pilots there or something? You know, like, just, people don't know. And that's the only reason. That's why I tell you, because I think it's amazing and cool, and we ought to celebrate the significance of this massive military operation, this training operation that is done here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars, cars that are a year to 4 years young, low miles, you know, 10 to 40,000 miles, great condition. They only buy and sell good quality cars. I mean, if you have an old car, they'll trade it in, and they'll just, you know, sell it off to somebody else. They don't sell those kind of cars. The kind of cars they sell are in good condition, like almost new. Like, the only difference between that and a brand new car is the smell, and it's had a driver. It's had an owner before. That's it. And the smell might even still be there, but, you know, I'm not guaranteeing that. The point is, good quality cars that you can count on. Lots of different variety, all in one place, so you can test drive a bunch of different cars and be treated like a person, the kind of person that, you know, doesn't feel like you've been taken advantage of or like they're trying to do something icky with you. Like, they want you to feel so good that you come back and come back and come back. And if they have what you want, you can buy it. If they don't have what you want, you can tell them you're looking for it. They go looking for people all the time for cars at auction. The point is, they are a great first resource for anybody who's looking for that next vehicle. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid. Installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages. Keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
You already know Squeegee Squad for spotless windows and powerful pressure washing, but this spring it's time to let the sunshine in. Squeegee Squad makes your windows crystal clear and your home shine again. And hey, put down the ladder. Their licensed insured pros handle the windows, the pressure washing, and the gutter cleaning so you don't have to. Residential or commercial. Windows, power washing, gutter cleaning, and more. Squeegee Squad does it all. Less grime, more shine. Call Squeegee Squad today and let your home sparkle this spring.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan. And I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Luxuriously appointed.
Good morning, 621 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Monday to you. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump says the ceasefire with Iran is still holding well, surprisingly, even as the U.S. prepares now to blockade the Strait of Hormuz. That decision follows negotiations in Pakistan over the weekend led by Vice President J.D. Vance, where no deal was made. Democrat Congressman Eric Swalwell suspending his campaign for governor of California. He posted on X Sunday saying he was deeply sorry for mistakes in judgment he's made in the past and says he wants to fight what he believes to, or what he says are false allegations that have been made against him. And the teacher's strike in Los Angeles, California has been averted. Officials said Sunday they had reached a tentative agreement, which apparently teachers will be staying at work.
All right. Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, this all the stuff that's going on with Hormuz being closed later today. The USS is going to do minesweeping activities and, you know, what that means for the price of oil, which has already jumped up in response to the failure of the talks to solve all of this. We've still got about a week of the ceasefire left. We'll see whether that holds, the ongoing stuff with Lebanon and Israel. I'm seeing a variety of different analysis pieces online that kind of all aim at the same thing. And there's, as you would not be surprised, there's two very different views of what's taken place with the Strait of Hormuz. One view, the contrary view, anti-Trump, however you want to, you know, Trump failed, Trump lost. They have leverage. They're using it. We can't open the Strait of Hormuz. You know, that view of things, okay? That we don't have control. We're not strong enough. We don't have the technology because they have mines and so forth. Okay, and, you know, time will tell whether that's right, but here's a different view, okay? You know, it's hard during war to kind of figure out what the long-term consequences. The other view is that the primary foreign entity that is harmed by the Strait of Hormuz being closed is not Europe, although they've been squealing. It's China that gets like 45% of their oil from Iran. And that closing that means that China cannot get its oil it needs, so it's forced to find a new source of oil. Who's got oil? I don't know, us? If Iran can't export oil through the Strait of Hormuz or other countries either through the Strait of Hormuz, then China is not going to be able to just keep going and ignore that. They've got to get their oil from somewhere. But it does mean in the short term, their prices go up, which is input prices, which means that that hurts their economy, right? Because we don't need it. They do. If Iran actually, you know, blocks Hormuz, keeps it blocked, well, you know, yeah, that's affecting world markets and affecting their allies and some of their adversaries or at least competitors in Europe. But it's also harming themselves because that's their source of income. And if you cut off a supply, then they will find it to buy elsewhere. And what happens when the markets realign towards other places like the U.S. or, I don't know, Venezuela? Who controls that? Then they're not as dependent on the Middle East anymore, which, or at least that slice of the Middle East, which cuts down on their power long term. You know, Iran is cutting off its nose despite its face kind of problem, right? If indeed, as you've heard the, you know, Trump saying that send all the empty oil tankers here, we'll send them what we've got. We'll sell it to them. We're now more in control of the market. We're capturing Asian demand. You see a complete shift in production, in revenue, in global control, in isolating an independence compared to, for example, OPEC having all the power they had, and how this affects, again, China in particular and us long term. So a lot of this is you'll have to wait and see. But the people who are crediting Trump team with a very, very strategic long term move to, as one commentator put it, build a North America, a greater North America, that's Greenland all the way down to Panama, a kind of a fortress around us and isolate us and deal with an adversary that has for 47 years, every president has said they cannot get a nuclear weapon. We have to be stopping this. You know, there's sort of bigger picture stuff involved in all of this. And I do not pretend to know which one's going to turn out to be right, but there is at least two views on what's happening. Maybe more than that. 626 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. We're dealing with one accident that just happened on Highway 90 and Avalon Boulevard. It's off to the side of the road, and I'm starting to see some delays right there on Highway 90, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Have you seen, the headline is always around Aldi, and I don't quite understand why Aldi is the fixation, but the headline has to do with Aldi dealing with a massively costly regulation that might be passing in a couple of U.S. states. The concept here is that you cannot have more than 8 checkout, self-checkouts in one place. Like, just as a law, and that's not a federal law. This is a state law that's being proposed. I think it's Maryland is where they're talking about it. But also, there's another law, this one I believe is in California, where the law is built around the idea that you have to have one person for every 2 checkout lanes that are self-check. So, Rhode Island, excuse me. Rhode Island is the one that's saying a couple of bills there. One reduces self-checkout kiosks. You just can't have more than 8. Another one is to mandate that so many staff per checkout, you know, 2 per 1, which I don't, you know, I didn't love the idea of the self-checkout to begin with, but now I've gotten used to it, and I think it's often faster, and it's certainly, you know, when you have to usually wait for a person, right? And you may not have to wait that long unless you go to the Walmart on 29, in which case you're fighting those 2 lines all the time to figure out which way to go. It's crazy. It's, you know, you all get in the lines and then you wait for the corral where you go and go to your self-checkout. But, you know, the self-checkout's not that big of a deal unless you get alcohol or unless the thing doesn't understand what happened and they think they're stealing from you. I mean, there are hiccups. But generally speaking, it's no big deal. I don't understand this rule of having the state government intervene in regulating the maximum number of self-checkout kiosks. What is it of their business? I mean, if you don't like what a store is doing, then guess what? Shop somewhere else. They're going to force, like, it's almost like protectionism, like job protection for the checkout people. Like when they had, and I know folks here don't really know this, but Oregon and New Jersey for the longest time were the holdouts on you have to get your gas done by the attendant. You could not do your own credit card at the pump, which is one of the greatest modern things for gas checkout, right? And Oregon got rid of it, and I think New Jersey might be the same, the one that still has it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
still
you can't pump your gas.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, it's kind of like that. Like, you're just going to force people to be able to have these jobs. Again, if you don't like the way, let's, as an example, take Aldi. If you don't like the way Aldi's doing it, well, what do? You go to Publix. You go to, you know, we could used to go to Winn-Dixie. You go to Grocery Advantage, Grocery Outlet, or you go to, you know, Walmart or somewhere else, or you go to Everman's, whatever. Also kind of weird because the Aldi's here don't have self-checkout. I think one has self-checkout, and all the new ones do not have it, which I think is super bizarre why they're building. It's almost like the industry is going away from it now. The other one, the 2-for-1. So anyway, I just don't get it as a concept. If people don't like it, they'll shop elsewhere. There's no need for the state to get involved. And if people do like it, then they will shop there. What do you, you know? But by the way, it's weird that it's only regulating grocery stores and not regulating hardware stores. You know, not regulating big box stores, you know, but all stores have this now. Most stores have this now. So I'm kind of, it's a weird protectionism intervention. We're trying to solve a problem, make our constituents happy, and doing something that's basically contrary to the concept of capitalism. 620, even though I know a lot of people don't like the self-checkout, but that's not the job of government to fix that. That's the job of the market to fix that. And if enough of you agree that you don't like it, then don't go there. 437-1620, 437-1620. What was the other thing that was going to... Oh, bands on the beach. Let's see. That was last week. I do not know who is up this week, but every Tuesday, 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Great party. Wonderful time. Go enjoy it. That's always... Whatever is... I don't think a lot of people go for particular music. They just go for the music. They go for the event of it. And Navy Days, Night at the Museum. Friday, May 8th at the Naval Aviation Museum. Cocktails, dinner, dancing, black tie event. Cherico is going to be speaking. Admiral Cesar Cherico is going to be speaking. PensacolaNavyDays.org.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump trying to beat the Iranians at their own game, announcing a 10 a.m. Eastern blockade of the Strait of Hormuz after peace talks in Pakistan fell apart over the weekend.
Now, the Strait of Hormuz remains a critical waterway, and the Iranian military today is warning that no Gulf ports will be safe if their own ports are threatened. U.S. Central Command giving some new details on the blockade, saying the blockade will be enforced impartially against vessels of all nations entering or departing Iranian ports and coastal areas.
Fox's Trey Yings, Pope Leo XIV, critical of the conflict to the ire of President Trump.
I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of Pope Leo. He's a very liberal person, and he's a man that doesn't believe in stopping crime.
The president posted a lengthy Truth Social post targeting the pontiff. Pope Leo today said he doesn't fear the Trump administration. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 62 degrees with partly cloudy skies, looking like a beautiful morning out there. We've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson. We'll get that in just a few minutes. Authorities are investigating a shooting at the Oakwood Terrace Apartments on Truman Avenue in Escambia County. That happened on Sunday morning. Deputies said they responded around 11:30 Sunday, where they found two victims with gunshot wounds. There were bullet holes found at two apartments. Both victims were taken to an area hospital. Right now, there's no details on what led to the shooting, and the investigation is ongoing. An adult was taken to a hospital after being found face down in a swimming pool on Sunday. It happened at a home on West Indies Drive in Escambia County. No word on that person's current condition. There was a good turnout Saturday for the Fiesta Children's Treasure Hunt at Museum Plaza downtown. Kids explored the Pensacola History Museum on a clue-based scavenger hunt. They had prizes ranging from bicycles and scooters to beach stays even. Pensacola Fire and Police Departments, the Blue Wahoos Kazoo, the Ice Flyers Maverick, and UWF's Argy the Argonaut were all on hand for that event. A 16-year-old from Floralla, Alabama, was arrested on Friday after posting a photo of a gun online with the caption threatening to kill a student at Paxton School in Walton County. The suspect attends that school as well. It was taken into custody before classes began. No further details on that have been released. Florida Senator Rick Scott is calling on Congress to eliminate the Senate filibuster. Scott posted on Facebook that it's time to blow up the filibuster to allow passage of the Save America Act. He also wants full funding for the Department of Homeland Security passed.
He says the filibuster was never meant to serve as a permanent veto and accuses Democrats of using it to block America First legislation. Well, drivers in Florida will have some new specialty license plate options after Governor DeSantis signed a bill on Friday adding new designs. New plates include plate designs for the UFC, Florida Film Legacy, and an updated Endless Summer plate. Proceeds from the specialty plate sales fund the nonprofits that sponsor them. Escambia County is looking for a volunteer to fill an at-large seat on the Board of Adjustment. Interested residents have until April 27th if they want to apply for that. Just submit a resume online at myescambia.com, and you can get more information there at the county website. And an 83-home subdivision on land once part of this sprawling proposed Jubilee development near Pace has received final county approval. Holiday Builders bought 260 acres from Jubilee Development Group. That was back in 2023 for $4.5 million and is developing 42 of those acres near Chemukla Highway and Willard Norris Road. The approval comes as Jubilee's owner continues his effort to rezone his remaining 2,000 acres for higher density development. That's an effort that's had a lot of opposition from area residents. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 90 in Avalon Boulevard. Again, no road blockage there, but just some minor delays both in east and westbound on Highway 90. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing some beautiful sunny skies today with temperatures warming up into the upper 70s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the mid-60s. Heading into your Tuesday, mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warming up near 79 degrees. Heading into Tuesday night, back around 65 degrees. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 79. Wednesday night, temperatures back near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got partly cloudy skies this morning. It is 61 degrees right now across the area. Your next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices have skyrocketed above $100 per barrel this morning as the U.S. moves to impose a blockade on Iranian shipping after the collapse of weekend peace talks. West Texas Intermediate currently at 104 per barrel. Brent currently hovering at 102. Treasury yields edged higher this morning as the breakdown of negotiations between Iran and the U.S. clouded the inflation outlook once again. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note was up by more than one basis point at 4.333%. OpenAI has announced it's opening its first permanent London office. The space will have capacity for over 500 team members, which is more than double OpenAI's current headcount. In February, the company said it would make London its largest research hub outside of the U.S. Futures have dropped this morning as U.S. forces prepare to block the Strait of Hormuz, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 269, the NASDAQ up 80, the S&P 500 down 7. That's Your Money Now.
What are you doing every day to support your liver? If you enjoy sweets, fast food, alcohol, or take any medications, that's a vital question to ask. Hi, I'm Sherry Torkus, pharmacist and health author. For over 30 years, I've helped people make informed decisions about their health, especially concerning prevention and long-term wellness. Supporting your liver isn't just a wellness trend, it's a daily essential. That's why I recommend Active Liver by New Nordic. It's made with plant-based ingredients like milk thistle, turmeric, and globe artichoke, herbs clinically studied for their protective and restorative effects on the liver. Active Liver blends traditional herbal wisdom with modern scientific research. Not all supplements are created equal. I trust Active Liver because it's backed by science, meets strict quality standards, and delivers true daily liver support.
Active Liver is available online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com. Or you can find it in stores at CVS, Meijer Grocery, Wegmans, and now Active Liver is available at your local GNC.
Spring is here. Oh, yeah. And it's time to warm things up with the new Slow Smoke menu at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether it's our brisket grilled cheese, the Hot Link Loaded Mac, or the amazing new Peach Cobbler Egg Rolls, you're sure to love them. Maybe you're throwing a party and need some barbecue catered. We can help with that. Whether you're picking up, need it delivered, or a team to come out and serve. With four locations in the News Radio area, visit sunnysbbq.com to learn more or order today. And remember, it's always Sunny's here.
In the time it takes to watch one episode of your favorite show, you could be approved for your auto loan. While your dinner's in the oven, you could be comparing rates. By the time your morning coffee is brewed, those keys to your new car could practically be in your hand. PenAir Credit Union doesn't just process auto loans. We beam you straight into the driver's seat. Fast approvals, low rates, and easy financing. Apply now at penair.org/autoloans. Federally insured by NCUA.
Spring shows up quietly around here. A little more daylight. Warmer afternoons. A lot going on locally. News Radio 92.3 keeps you connected to it all with the stories, updates, and conversations that shape your day.
Stay informed, staying connected.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
New season, same trusted source.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Moving on to the regular agenda, item 26-421, approval of donation agreement with the Pensacola Heritage Foundation, placement of Alexander Stoddard statue, Bayview Community Resource Center. Need a motion and a second.
Move the approval.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Moore, seconded by Councilman Wiggins.
Now, I know you wouldn't normally think that the approval of the placement of a decorative statue of a guy walking his dog at Bayview Community Center, Bayview Park, between the dog parks would be controversial, but you didn't count on Charles Bear. All with Charles Bear.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm the one that pulled this from consent. This could have been one of our shortest meetings ever, but I'm not going to let that happen.
Could have been, but here I am. I am the human roadblock. Here we go. Charles Bear does not like the statue. Why?
And I did my own research. I reached out to Special Collections at UWF just to find out more about Stoddard and what he had done in the community. And, you know, really nothing against insurance salesmen. If you're in insurance, that's great. But this was a rich insurance salesman who made his money in New York, came down and made money here. And bought a lot of property. A lot of property around the bayou, around Bayou Tahar, had a road named after him. Instead of Lakeview, it was called Stoddard. He called it Lakeview because he thought the bayou was a lake, and he was a northerner, so he wasn't familiar with bayous. And then apparently at some point later, people got together and changed the name. They didn't like Stoddard's name, so they changed it back to Lakeview.
Okay, so Charles Bear begins by saying he's a rich northern insurance guy. Two strikes already. He's some rich guy. He's from the north. He doesn't understand us enough to even name the thing right. He calls it a lake instead of a bayou. do you catch some of this already? Like, we're not in favor of these Yankees coming down here. I never thought of Charles Bear as being, like, the anti-carpetbagger guy. I just never thought of him that way. But apparently, he's got a problem with northerners coming. I'm a northerner. You know, here I am. Anyway, so they're against the Stoddard statue, Alexander Stoddard. But he goes on to explain what was wrong with this guy.
I thought it was really interesting because this person came down and, you know, the area that he settled in, there's a lot of wetlands there. And, you know, the gentleman referred to it as swamps, but wetlands, which are very protective areas. There are areas where juvenile fish grow up. There are protection from hurricanes. There's lots of positives to wetlands. And he pretty much filled them all in so he could build his little empire down here. He had dairy cattle. He had all kinds of stuff going on there.
All right, so he filled in the wetlands.
He also had servants that were African-Americans.
Uh-oh.
I thought it was very interesting in the picture to see two of them right there in that picture. And that picture came, it was also in the files at Special Collections at the University of West Florida.
Wait, servants or he had slaves? There's a distinction there, but okay, fine.
You all did a lot of research on the history of this gentleman, and there wasn't anything really bad about him. And it's just, to me, a statue leaves a lasting impression. And this is one of, what, 94 parks? I don't know. We seem to go 93, 95, 94, somewhere in there. And I'm wondering, are we going to research the history of every park? And if the park was given to us by someone, we're going to put a statue there.
So how dare we honor the people who gave us the land? By the way, servants, this is post-Civil War is when he came down here. So, you know, not slaves. Anyway, back to Charles Baer with his endless critiques of this particular historical figure in Pensacola history.
To me, this particular statue and the location that it wants to be placed is front and center to Bayview Community Center, one of our most beautiful centers we have, and I don't think it's the right location, personally. You know, it's mentioned in the presentation that there's dog parks, there's a water dog park, there's the other dog park. I don't know why it wouldn't be near there. It's a large St. Bernard, which you don't see many of those in Pensacola, I will say. I don't think they survive very well down here in our heat. But I really don't think it belongs right out in front of Bayview Center. And I just couldn't let this one go by.
St. Bernard's not a native species. What in the world? We don't see St. Bernard's here, so how dare we have a statue of a St. Bernard that did actually live here and was the pet of the guy who donated the park, which is the most well-used dual dog park in the city. And plus, he's a rich Northern Yankee who doesn't even know how to speak our language. And, you know, he had black employees, and how dare he have black employees? Just like, this is so wild. I don't know which part he wants to fixate on, but trust me, this is going to get better in a minute.
There have been so many people who have done incredible things in our community. Yeah, he gave a piece of land that became the park. He also did some road paving. He had lots and lots of money. And, you know, I wish more people would give parkland.
All right, so if you tally up the objections, he was rich, he was an insurance guy, he filled in the wetlands, he had black employees, he walked the dog that we don't normally see in Pensacola. We shouldn't put the statue at that particular location at Bayview Park. By the way, if you're wondering, it would be at the there's a little patch of ground just to the south, I guess, of the Bayview Community Center, right between the two dog parks. And if you look at it and then you look at the renderings of the proposed statue, then it's a guy walking a large St. Bernard. And it almost looks like, how did we ever not think to put that there? Like, it so perfectly fits that location. So Charles Baer is against. Guess who's going to be for this? Jared Moore to the rescue in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 90 and Avalon Boulevard. I'm seeing delays both in the east and westbound direction as you approach Avalon Boulevard, so just be aware of that. Other than that, we are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. All right, back to the controversial decision about whether or not to put a statue of the guy who donated all the land for Bayview Park to the city back in the day at that park, and to have a statue of him walking to St. Bernard in between the two dog parks right by the Bayview Community Center. Jared Moore.
I had read about Mr. Stoddart several years ago and about his contributions and the significant role he played in this park being there. And you know, the fact he had a lot of money doesn't rub me the wrong way. In fact, I think that it's notable. He could have spent it on things for himself. He could have sold that land. The fact he donated it, indicates concern for the community. So I don't have an issue with it. I think his role is significant there.
Yeah, I mean, ostensibly, Charles Baer is a capitalist, a figure, you know. I think he leans Republican. I don't know if he's a Republican. I've always thought that he was. But here he is against a guy because he was wealthy, because he earned money legally and then used that money to help the city. That seems like a virtue, not a problem.
I think the statue is interesting. I think it plays, you know, we had a speaker here that spoke about love notes to the community, little things that make a community unique. And I think about my own travels. I think, our graffiti bridge serves that. We've got different landmarks throughout the community that make the community unique. It becomes some sort of identifiable mark that people can relate to. I think about travels in other communities where they've had statues and things.
Yeah,
make that community unique. It makes it stand out in your mind from other places you've been.
And this is exactly
St. Bernard with Alexander Stoddart is a fitting tribute.
This is exactly that kind of a thing. When I saw the statue, because I had heard Charles critiquing it, and then I went and looked up the backup online. It's a cool looking statue, and it fits exactly in that space. It's a perfect tie-in for the community center and the two dog parks. And it's being done. Oh, the artist all of a sudden escapes my Randy New. who has done like the one out on the beach, the surfer out on the beach. He did the 9/11 one that's at Veterans Memorial Park with the eagle on top of the bent piece of iron. He's got the chains one that is over there for the chains going out of the ground that ties in some of the maritime stuff here in this area. He's a very, very prolific local sculptor, so wonderful contribution. Anyway, when I saw it, I'm like, oh, man, I want that thing. But here's where it got really good. Dr. Norman Haynes, who is the historian for the Pensacola Heritage Foundation, no relationship to the big National Heritage Foundation. They're just the local Heritage Historical Society.
I'm Dr. Norman Haynes. I'm the historian for the nearly 500-member Heritage Foundation, a foundation that's been in existence for over 60 years, protecting Pensacola's heritage and promoting history here.
It's a general way of saying I'm the expert. I'm the expert. He is going to explain fairly politely why Charles Baer is wrong on everything he said. Ready? Here goes.
We do have a list of people that have been overlooked in history in Pensacola, and there are many of them. And some of them are Northerners for that very reason. But I would just remind Mr. Baer, Pensacola was decimated during the Civil War. And we were one of the first Southern cities to come back quickly and make money. And it was because the Northerners who came here, they came and built the seafood industry. They came as lumber barons and built the lumber industry. They helped the railroads. They helped the docks and the shipping. And I think it's unfortunate that we would hold that against them because they're Northerners, that their contribution isn't as significant as a native. There weren't many natives able financially to do that.
Ouch. A couple ouches, right? Thank God the Northerners came in and helped us and rebuilt. And it was historically that they didn't get enough celebration precisely because they were Northerners. There was that kind of bias against them, bigotry against them. Charles Baer is raising that bigotry again and saying, well, he was a wealthy Northerner. Yeah, thank God, helped rebuild Pensacola after the war.
Stoddard was wealthy. He made it legitimately. He fell in love with Pensacola. He was the first insurance company to come south and help rebuild the South by providing insurance that wasn't available prior to that.
Who was doing insurance here before that, after the Civil War? Not a lot of people. So he comes and provides a service that helps people build their businesses, right?
He spent an incredible amount of money. He literally paid for Lakeview Road. He graded it, the latest techniques, built that road to have access. And yes, it was wetlands, but no one had access to the bayou. There was no way to get there. No one enjoyed the bayou. The park that had been on the books for possible 1836 couldn't be used because you couldn't get there. And it was in order to have access to the bayou, he had to develop it, and he put roads out. Once he arranged for Bayview to be donated to the city, they asked him to put his roads down to the north part of Bayview so that they could have access to come into Bayview and make it Pensacola's playground.
So he donated the land. He had a vision for recreation. He created access to the water. He then created other access to the water when the city asked him to do it. He literally made Bayview Park happen, the thing that we just take for granted, this amazing resource now.
He promoted East Hill. He was the first wealthy man to come into East Hill instead of North Hill and made it popular when it was faltering for years before the Civil War. Because of his presence here, East Hill began to boom. People began to move here.
The wealthy people used to live in North Hill. He was the first one to lead the kind of the move towards East Hill, which now, of course, East Hill is this great, amazing place that, you know, thousands of people love to live at.
He opened a dairy to provide quality dairy to provide milk. He promoted the clean water and actually dug wells and helped provide water to the neighborhood. So he did a lot. And I think it's unfortunate that it would be classified as he was rich and Northerner, that should be anything against him at all.
So we're done here, right? Like Charles Baer is off his rocker. And you know what? Let me say this. The one thing I appreciate that Charles will always tell you why he votes. He's not shy about explaining himself, and I appreciate that. Other people don't say why they're voting, one way or the other. And, even if I disagree completely with Councilman Baer, I respect that he says his opinion. Now, he often says his opinion in such a way that even when he's right, you don't want to agree with him. I mean, it's just, there's a tact issue there. But yeah, this argument that he was a wealthy northerner and he had a St. Bernard, therefore don't do this statue. I mean, the person who built the park and made the park happen, and it's a dog park, and they're going to do a statue of a dog. I mean, it's like the most perfect thing you can imagine. In my mind, we want wealthy philanthropists to build the city and donate their land and their time, or do we not want them to? Or we want them to do it, and then we want to resent them afterwards. Is that the plan here? Allison Patton?
I think this statue belongs in Bayview Park. This is the gentleman who helped us create Bayview Park. And so I have been supportive of this from the beginning. I'm glad it's been a long journey.
All right, we got six councilmen there. Okay, Casey Jones is not there, so there's six there. What's the vote going to be, John?
Yeah, 5-1.
5-1, you'd think, right?
Seeing no other speakers, please vote.
And there was kind of some working machinery trying to figure out what's going to happen. Where's this going to go?
So does the item fail? All right, the item fails.
What?
3-3. It failed after the historian answered all of Charles Baer's objections and explained why this guy was vital to the community and who we are today. Delarian Wiggins, who seconded the motion, voted against, and Tenia Day Broughton, without any explanation, voted against. So it was Allison Patton and Jared Moore and Jen Brayer voting yes. Charles Baer, Tenney Day Broughton, and Delarian Wiggins voted no, and Casey Jones wasn't there. Now, I did not get an explanation from either Tenney Day or from Delarian in the meeting about why they voted no. I don't know if it was the black servant's comment. It's possible. They're the two black members of council. It's possible. I texted both of them to ask, you know, hey, and I got no answer yet. I mean, they may answer me later. I don't know. I'm friends with them. I like them. Get along. This failed. I could not believe that it failed. Because here's the thing. When I was listening to Charles at first, I'm like, oh, okay, I can see, you know, maybe this isn't such a great idea. And it was apparently brought up several times at the, you know, the Parks and Recreation Board. Okay, I don't know anything. And then I start to realize what his objections really were, sort of anti-northern, anti-rich guy resentment. And then the explanation of what he really did historically for that park and for this city. I'm like, dude, build three statues. You know, like, he deserves it. And it's just a cool thing. I love the way this thing looks. And it's I was grateful that Dr. Haynes was there to explain the history and teach me something I didn't know. And then it fails 3-3. Ugh. Super disappointing. Because I got all excited. Oh, this is going to pass. And now I know what it's for. And I can teach people. This is a cool thing. Nope. And again, I disagree vehemently with Councilman Baer. I respect that he said why. I don't know why Councilman Wiggins and Councilman Broughton voted no. They didn't explain why. And again, Delarian was the second on the motion. So something changed in the meantime. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Trey, we're back to rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing anything to slow you down on I-10, I-1, 10, 29, 98. Looks good right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you believe the destination is the journey, you'll love exploring the all-new 2026 Subaru models. Like the all-new 2026 Subaru Outback, strikingly redesigned with sharp lines and more edge, and now with financing as low as 1.9% for 48 months. Or how about the roomy Subaru Crosstrek or the family-sized Ascent? Finance either one for 2.9% for an amazing 75 months. And the long-lasting and capable Subaru Forester. Drive one home for only 1.9% financing for 75 months. All come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take on every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Crosstrek Ascent and Forester. Love is out there. Find it in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791 or online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Tickets for the third annual Night at the Museum Gala are on sale now for Friday night, May 8th, featuring special guest speaker, Vice Admiral Jeffrey Caesar Cherico. Table sponsorships are $1,400 all in, and individual tickets are $175, but you can save 20% at checkout with the promo code EARLYBIRD. Get tickets and all things Pensacola Navy Days at PensacolaNavyDays.org. Spend an evening of fine dining under the planes and support Pensacola Navy Days. That's PensacolaNavyDays.org.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 10:30 when guests from Pensacola State College will be on the show discussing everything from registration to graduation and so much more. And did you know that 91% of PSC students graduate loan-free? Learn more Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with guests from Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Are we connecting, Mr. Kersey?
Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty do this all the time. And when I say all the time, I mean literally their team sold 209 homes last year. They buy homes as well. I just have the sales numbers. And that is amazing. That is the number one team for residential real estate in this area. And that means they know how to stage it. They know how to photograph it. They know how to list it. They know what price to list it at. And sometimes you think, well, you know, they just know how to get a good deal. Well, no, sometimes that means raising the price. She told me about one home she took on. I think it was in Navarre, if I remember right. It was listed at $499, and the person said, you'll never get more than that. And she listed it, and she's like, oh, okay, well, I'll have to do $625. Done, cash, 10 days. Like, sometimes you just have to know the market, what it will bear, what it will support, what it won't. Sometimes you're attracting the wrong clientele because you don't know how to properly price a home. And if you've had a realtor who didn't get your home sold, man, a lot of times that happens, second, third, fifth time they go to Christina and she sells the house. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.